We're talking about the waiting game of life from Luke chapter 2, and you can follow along as I read our passage, Luke 2, verses 25 to 38. I won't read every single verse in that passage, but most of it, the waiting game of life. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Skipping down to verse 36 of our passage, "And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Will you join me in a brief word of prayer, and we'll jump right into this morning's message. It is truly one of the most wonderful times of the year, the Christmas holiday. And we thank you, Lord, for family and friends and wonderful events that we can participate in, even as we just saw this video of our children being thankful for so many things and just how precious it is that they can enjoy this great time of year. Father, we know that in the midst of all the festivities and the busyness of the season, that there are some very important things that we are hoping that would happen and change that we would experience even in the coming year and years to come. And as we take a few moments to think about the topic of waiting, I pray that you would speak to us in such a way that addresses how you indeed meet us in the midst of our waiting. And so speak once again through the power of your word, through your visitation and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk about four things this morning on this Christmas Sunday about waiting. I want to talk about the reality of waiting. Secondly, the false expectations of waiting. Thirdly, the disappointments of waiting. And fourthly and finally, the joyful freedom that we can have in the midst of waiting. The reality of waiting is a huge part of our lives, first of all. We spend so much of our lives waiting. If the average lifespan is, say, around 80 years, you will spend about 28 years of your life sleeping. Some more, anyone a little bit less? But that's a lot of time if you think about it. You'll spend about 6 years doing chores. So let's hope we get a Roomba for Christmas. Over a decade of your life working, your 9-to-5, over 21,000 hours on your smartphone, you'll spend about 6 months of your life waiting in lines. Anyone been to the DMV recently? You'll spend 20 weeks of your life being put on hold on the phone. We try to get help to set up your TV or get the Cox cable guy to come out in Chicago it's Comcast, to come and fix your problems with your cable service or whatever you use. You'll spend around 11 years in front of your TV, some more, some less, but that's a lot of time. We spend much of our time waiting or doing things while we are waiting. The theme of waiting and the reality is not just part of our lives, but has always been part of the reality of God's people throughout the scriptures from the beginning to the end. Waiting has always been a critical part of the redemption story. From back in the book of Genesis, in our representatives, Adam and Eve, as soon as they rebelled against their creator, their maker, their Lord, the waiting game began, as prophesied in God's word, that one day, even though we have messed things up majorly in our world, our lives, in a heart that often runs from God rather than runs to Him in love and obedience, that one day a descendant, a seed coming from the woman, would be sent into our world to eventually make all things right and crush the head of the serpent. And until then, we would wait and wait and wait. The Israelites would wait for deliverance out of the bondage of slavery under the Egyptians. They would hear the promises of God that one day their lives are going to be made right and whole and beautiful, and yet they would wait and wait and wait. They would wait for this promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. They would wait and wait and wait. Then they would wait for one day for a temple to be built that they could call on the name of the Lord and invite the nations to come and find their true king, their true God, their true Lord. The life of a believer is marked by waiting. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13 to 14. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having knowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The people of God in Old Testament and in the New were people who learned to wait. And here in our passage this morning, we have two of these aged, elderly saints, Simeon and Anna, who were waiting all their lives. Simeon received word that one day he would see, the word described here is the consolation of Israel, the one who would rescue him and his people, provide the comfort and love that they have longed for all their lives and for generation to generation. Simeon, you will not die until you see this person, this child. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he waited and waited and waited. Anna was described here as a prophetess, a woman of God, who in her advanced years had experienced marriage with her husband for 7, and then as a widow until she was 84 years old, waiting, waiting, waiting. She did not depart from the temple. Verse 37, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And both would wait until this infant Jesus, brought by Mary and Joseph, arrives in the temple in order to observe the law and Jewish custom. When Jesus arrived, both of them respond that now their waiting is over. Imagine what that would have been like. And so when we take a look at the story of God's people from the Old Testament to the New, we see that there were a people waiting. Waiting for a breakthrough in their lives. Waiting for freedom from the oppression that they experienced throughout their lives and existence. From poverty and pain and injustice. Waiting for the fulfillment that had been foreshadowed and predicted and prophesied throughout the scriptures and through the prophets, that one day all things would be made right. One day there would be a deliverer. And here in the Christmas story, we have two aged saints who waited their whole lives. And when they saw this baby Jesus, they said their waiting is now over. We who live today are also a people who are waiting. You're waiting for a breakthrough in your life as well, a change. You're waiting for circumstances and the stars to align just right in order to experience that which you've been waiting for. You're waiting for a change in a loved one's life or heart, as many of you love them and are praying for them. We wait for children to come home. We wait some for marriage. We wait for healing and a physical illness that has come upon us or our loved ones. We wait and we wait and we wait. And even in the midst of celebration, a celebration like Advent, Christmas, all of us have something we are waiting for in our lives. We are a people of waiting, and we will wait in our lives. And I think the warning that's given here leads us to our second truth, that there are many false expectations of our waiting. And the reason why is because we often make idols of those false expectations as we wait for things in our lives. The way our hearts have been created by God and the impact and reality of sin in our world and deep within the depths of our own heart and being, we create false expectations of the things that we are waiting for. In my childhood, I remember seeing an advertisement and I hounded my parents to buy me sea monkeys. You guys remember this? And I saw the advertisements, and wow, an ocean zoo is going to appear that would even humble SpongeBob in his kingdom. And so you mix the concoctions, this crystal-like powder, and you let it sit for a while, and I just could not wait for this ocean zoo to form. And every day after school, I ran home. I couldn't wait. When is the ocean zoo going to come in this sea monkey kit? And I waited 5 days. In fact, that last night, I couldn't even go to sleep. Every hour checking for the zoo to arrive. Many of us can relate. Maybe you didn't have the privilege of having a sea monkey aquarium in your life. But a new job, a new relationship, graduation, your children reaching a milestone in your lives. All of us are waiting for some kind of breakthrough to happen, and we wait, and we put great expectation upon those things, and that is the danger. As Ravi Zacharias, that reminds us, deep within every human heart throbs the undying hope that somebody or something will bring an explanation of what life is all about and a way to retain the wonder. The wonder that brings joy and love and transformation and meaning and significance into our lives. And the danger with our hearts is that as we wait for circumstances or people or an accomplishment or whatever it might be, we build such expectation in that we make it an idol. And we blow it up to become something that it was never meant to be. That is the danger. And as we live out our lives, and even as a child, I remember that as you wait for things, there is the inevitable disappointment, which leads us to our third point, the disappointments of waiting. We often experience some level of disappointment when we get that which we have been waiting for in our lives. What happened 5 days after mixing those powders in the sea monkey aquarium? I got this! These weird-looking crustaceans, these larvae. And I said, this does not look like the picture on the box. And soon after, they all died. And of course, I made my parents buy me the kit again and again and again. Our children make a list of what they want for Christmas. They wait for it. They cannot wait to open the gifts. And finally, on their Christmas morning, after Santa's visited, they open it up. They play with it for a few days or a few hours or even a few minutes, and it gets tossed aside, getting ready to be donated away because there is that inevitable disappointment of which we find in so many areas of our lives. In my own journey of life, being in full-time Christian ministry as a pastor for years and years and years, as I served under different bosses, aka senior pastors, I always longed for the day that I could be, not the king, but be the lead guy. I could do it better than them. I could preach better. I could teach better. I could shepherd better. I could train better. Always waiting for that breakthrough, that opportunity to be the senior pastor. It was in 2003 when my turn finally came and starting a new congregation in downtown Chicago. And soon realizing the honeymoon was over, weeks into launching services, when things went wrong, Pastor Peter, senior pastor, what is going on with this issue? That, walking literally with the target on your back, whenever things did not go right, and I realized, what have I gotten myself into? This is not what I expected when I finally could be the lead guy. And I realized that, yes, it is a privilege, but it is also a tremendous weight that I have entered into. And something that I envisioned for years and years and years as a younger person coming out of seminary training, being under different bosses, different pastors. I can't wait to finally get my opportunity and chance. And nowadays I realize, wow, how much longer, Lord? It is a privilege, but what a life this is. What responsibility. Boy, this was not all that it was cracked up to be. I came across an article that was shared in a message in the Village Voice by a Cynthia Hemel, who thought back on all the people she knew in New York City before they became famous. She shared that she knew them as they worked at the makeup counter at Macy's or selling movie tickets at the AMC or whatever that they did. And once they broke through and managed to get to the top of their careers, which in our culture is, it is a God, is it not? Our careers. And to reach the top, the pinnacle. She writes that when they became successful finally, every one of them became more angry, more manic, more unhappy, more unstable than they had been when they were working hard to get to the top. She writes in this article, the giant thing they were striving for, that fame thing that was going to make everything okay, that was going to make their lives bearable, that was going to fill them with a happiness, had happened. And the next day they woke up and they were still them. The disillusionment turned them howling and insufferable. What breakthrough are we secretly hoping and dreaming for that would so transform our lives? And we realize there's a danger in that when we set our hearts on things that the future may or may not bring. We make them to be much bigger than they were ever designed to be. Even good things like family, children, career success, financial stability. The spring of 1942, artist Edward Hopper created a painting called Nighthawks that was written in the time to reflect the mood of the country right after the attack in Pearl Harbor, one of sadness, emptiness, loneliness. You know this because artist Gottfried Helwin repainted it as the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Taking that original painting and putting the greatest stars of their time in it, Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, Humphrey Bogart, and James Dean, all with endings of sad demise. This is a reminder. As Pastor Tim Keller writes in The Reason for God, a life not centered on God leads to emptiness. Building our lives on something besides God not only hurts us if we don't get the desires of our hearts, but also if we do. Few of us get all of our wildest dreams fulfilled in life, and therefore it is easy to live in the illusion that if you were successful, wealthy, popular, or beautiful as you wish, you'd be finally happy and at peace. That just isn't so. Wow. Without God in our lives, even as the people of God, as we read about throughout the Old Testament and New, when He is no longer the center of our lives will be a roller coaster of disappointments. We will create false expectations and make those things idols in our lives, creating them to be something far bigger than what they could ever dare to be in our lives when we forget about the gospel and who God is. Fourthly and finally, as we return back to our passage, we realize that in the midst of waiting, there is a joyful freedom that comes with waiting. And we will discover, and it's the heart of the Christmas story, the heart of the gospel, that only Christ brings an end to our waiting. So here we have Simeon and Anna in the temple waiting and waiting and waiting. And when Mary and Joseph bring this infant Jesus, Simeon scoops up Jesus, the Christ child, and says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My waiting is over. I can now die because what I have been waiting for my whole life is seen in the face of this infant Jesus." Anna, in the same way, praying, fasting, decade after decade, after becoming a widow at a young age, when she saw this baby Jesus, began immediately to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are what? We're waiting for the redemption, the salvation of Jerusalem. Coming up at that very hour, Anna began to give thanks to God with the message of the gospel that whatever you have been waiting for, your waiting can end in joy when you come to meet this Jesus. Only God, in the person of Jesus Christ, his own Son that was sent, broke through the glories of heaven, broke through earth, and was born and entered our world as a helpless babe. This Jesus, he is the only one who is big enough to completely capture us and fill us in such a way that in our hearts, the waiting finally can end. Until we find him, we will continually wait, and we will continue to build false expectations of the coming circumstances, situations, relationships in life that would finally align so that we can be joyful and happy and fulfilled, but it will always leave us with some degree and measure of dissatisfaction and disappointment. You see, God knows what it is like to wait. He is patient and has been waiting throughout the ages for the sending of his own Son into our world. The people of God waited as well, waiting for land to call their own, the land of Israel. The glorious future that the ancient Old Testament prophets spoke about hadn't yet come true. They waited and waited and waited. Those among the Jewish community began to lose hope. And as they lost hope, their worship and trust in God began to disintegrate, and they would turn to other things in order to put their hope in idols. They began to doubt that God loved them, that God was a God of power and mercy and justice. Their worship disintegrated, and they themselves began to disintegrate. But God would wait. God would wait for a man named Alexander the Great, who would come into this world in the 300s BC, as predicted by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 2, he would unite the world in the Greek Empire, and a process called Hellenization would take place, where the Greek culture and the language would bring the world together. God would wait for world and global events such as this. He would wait for this because years later, 72 Greek scholars would get together and in 72 days translate the Old Testament scriptures called the Septuagint into Greek, into one language that the world would actually understand, Greek. God would wait for the Roman Empire to come, to build a system of roads that would lead to the ends of the earth. God would wait. He would wait for the Jews to be scattered in every corner of the world and have communities throughout the empire on these Roman roads. God would wait. The scriptures remind us in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption. God is a God who knows what it's like to wait. And in the fullness of time, that waiting is finally over in the arrival and the advent of Jesus into our world. This morning in Luke chapter 2, we have seen that even in Jesus' infancy, this babe, he is changing lives forever. Simeon and Anna were nobodies. They had no title, no position. We never hear of them again in the scriptures except for this moment of breakthrough when they saw the infant Jesus in the temple. The true king had arrived in the person of this infant Jesus. And it reminds us as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and as we take an honest inventory of our hearts, longings and pinings and dreams, we are all waiting for something, whether you are a Christ follower or not. We are waiting for something to break through into our lives in the future that will redeem us, that will comfort us, that will rescue us. And the gospel says that that has happened in the person of Christ. Jesus is the miracle. He is the breakthrough that you have been waiting for. Breaking through the heavens, entering into our world in flesh and blood as a child, shining the light of God himself in the darkness and brokenness of our hurting world. When you experience this breakthrough in your life, yes, you will get stuck in traffic this week or next. Yes, you're going to wait for prayers to be answered. Yes, you're going to wait for events and circumstances and hopes and dreams to be fulfilled. But we can wait with the ultimate waiting satisfied in Christ. We can wait now for the smaller things of life because we know that our ultimate waiting has been found, fulfilled, and discovered in Christ's arrival into our world that Christmas morning. May we find joyful hope in the midst of our waiting, in the waiting game of life, because only Jesus is big enough to fulfill all that the heart, the human heart, longs for. It is in him, I ask, that you would turn your eyes to find the longings of your waiting of your heart ultimately fulfilled. And like Simeon and Anna, we can say, my life has been complete. I have seen the face of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, what is it as we look at the scriptures here in Luke 2 that so impacted Simeon and Anna, who waited their whole lives to see the face of God in the person of Jesus, allowed their waiting game to come to an end. I pray, Lord, this Advent, this Christmas time, as we all have hopes and dreams that we long for to be answered, fulfilled, answered, to take place, turn our hearts back to the one who is only big enough in his power, glory, and beauty to fill our hearts for the ultimate waiting that all of us long for. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the one that ends our waiting. And in doing so, we have power and strength for the lesser things, the smaller things we wait for in life, because you have met us and revealed yourself to us. turn our eyes back to the One, and may we, like Anna and Simeon, be able to look at Jesus this Christmas and once again say, my waiting is over. Redemption has come. Glory, hallelujah. Amen.